Oh, how he loves us. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So thank you so very much. We're going to be talking about God's great love for us and his mercy toward us in a very special way. And since one of my first slides is going to be dealing with protection, and it's a slide of a gun, I'm going to have Phil Rutledge come up and talk about safety. Phil Rutledge is he's the head of our safety team, and there's going to wants to invite you to a special meeting that's going to happen afterwards. But it really is an expression of love that Phil and his team that he's trying to develop here to be able to love our congregation by protecting and making sure that people are kept safe. So,
thank you, Pastor. The ushers are passing out a draft card right now. And it's something that we're going to put in the pews in case there is an emergency. And the emergencies I'm talking about are weather, a medical emergency, a security emergency, some type of technical emergency. We're going to have these cards in the pews in case something happens. We're going to change this card somewhat so it's going to be a little longer. So it will stick out of the pew. It'll be a fluorescent color. But the communication team will actually come out with this probably in the next month or so. So it's there. If there's ever an emergency, please do what it says. It gives you the address. In a panic situation, you need to know where we're at. They can't find you on your cell phone immediately. This is faster. So please use these cards if we ever need it. As you know, the biggest emergency we have in a church is a medical emergency. So we're going to be providing a lot of training. We're going to get people trained that can take care of that quickly before an ambulance or a fire truck gets here. Today at noon, we're having a get-together of a safety preparedness committee. We'd like you to come if you have interest in communication, medical, fire, technical, I'm sure I forgot something, weather, and security. Please come. We're going to have some pizza. We're going to talk about things. We're going to get teams together. And we've already got hundreds of pages of documents already written. And so all they have to do is give it to the coordinators. They change it to what they want, and we're good to go, and we're going to start training. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil. Safety. Thank you. Appreciate that. Safety preparedness is just crucial for a church of our size being able to deal with situations that on Christmas Eve, one of the things we train all of our ushers for is if there was a fire, because we happen to have lots of candles, is that you need to look underneath the pews for children who are hiding. Those are the kind of training that we need, all of the medical kinds of things. And obviously, the things that is making the news are the kind of active shooter and things like that. So as we're looking at that, that's a smaller percentage by quite a bit. It's mostly medical things and also other safety and security issues as well. So with that in mind, I'm going to put a gun up here. It's a nice looking gun. I really think a sweet little pistol there. And it's interesting to look at a gun in this society. 30 years ago, guns were not even barely even spoken about. They were just there. Now it's so much. As soon as I put that up, I don't even know where you guys went emotionally. I probably will have lost you for the rest of the sermon. But you put a gun up there, and we're like, oh, well, he's talking about the active shooter. Then that's what we're. And that actually wasn't my intention. My intention is actually to ask this question. There's a drawing of a gun. That's an interesting thing. If I want to get emotion, then I put this one up, which is made, you can make that at home. That is one of these 3D guns that is being made. And I don't know about you, but most of us have printers at home. We have a bunch of printers here at work. Everybody's got one. But what about these 3D printers? I know that, I know one family has a 3D printer. I want a 3D printer that makes 3D printers. I don't know if they have those yet. But the 3D printers are the kind of things that you can make a gun. You can make cups and all kinds of artwork and all beautiful kinds of things. But it's interesting the kind of emotion that's kicked out because of a three-dimensional printer. And I want to talk to you about love that's going to be more than just two-dimensional. It's going to be three-dimensional. And as we do so, let me just go back. And here's a drawing. It's two-dimensional of the Statue of Liberty. And here, now obviously I'm dealing in two dimensions, so I couldn't bring in a physical representation of the Statue of Liberty, but that's 3D. I mean, that's the real thing there. And this two-dimensional versus three-dimensional aspect is really important in the Christian faith, because we don't want to have a minimal kind of life, a minimal kind of love. We want to have something bigger than that. But I want to go back to this printer thing for a moment, because if we don't say explicitly and clearly what we intend to communicate, we miss things. So we talk about printers, and then we talk about 3D printers. Now, I would challenge that for a little bit, because there's something missing. See, we don't put the word before the printer versus the 3D printer. The thing that's missing is that it is a 2D printer. It's just flat. And at this point, a part of me wants to say, okay, we're going to do a math lesson on X, Y, axes and Z, things for dimensions on that. But we assume too much when we say printer, because that's what we're used to. It's just flat. But then here comes this new thing called a 3D printer. And now it changes the world. And as we look at it, we need to be thinking, is our thinking about the world and the way God has made us and the way we relate to God and others, is it two-dimensional? Or are we actually allowing God's holy word to give us sort of that completeness and fullness and the full body of everything of God's truth in all this? And I really want to talk about what the scripture has to say about three-dimensional love. And so here comes your geometry. Remember, eighth grade or ninth grade geometry, whenever that came along. Here's what the word of God says, that we're supposed to be grounded, rooted and grounded in love. So we have to sort of have that love so that we might be able to grasp the love of Christ. And it's described with these four interesting adjectives. And if you will, there's one part of it. Normally we think in just in terms of, you know, X, Y, and a Z axis on this. But it's how wide is this thing and how long is it? And then he's basically sort of taking it from this position and going up, how high, and then what's the depth? So, and those are sort of the same geometric aspects of it. And one of the teachers that was in the 8 o'clock service said, "Ah, Pastor, don't forget about the fourth dimension, time." And I thought that it was a very insightful comment, because it's not only how wide and long, how high and deep God's love for us, but it's been over time, and he continues, and nothing can separate us from that love, no matter how long that may be. I thought that was an interesting thing. For me, I think we sometimes grasp this sort of 3D love in the benediction. We're not going to use it today, but you're probably familiar with this. May the good Lord go before you to lead you, behind you to protect you, beneath you to support you, beside you to befriend you. Actually, he thinks there's supposed to be an above you to do something. I forget what it was. And then the last one, within you to inspire. What's really being talked about here is a kind of love that is maximal rather than minimal. It's the kind of love that is just robust rather than, that's enough. We don't want to go too far with that kind of love. See, too often we have sort of this flat kind of love. It's not that it's not love, and it's not. I mean, you think about maps; those are just a flat map that's there. I don't know. You get a globe. Does anybody have one anymore of those? Some of you get those are ancient, by the way. If you haven't ever looked at your old globes, almost all of the countries are all out of whack on that. But anyway, I mean, we need to have a different perspective about love that isn't just two-dimensional. It's got to be three-dimensional. We need to have a perspective that is not just global, but is cosmic, that it is heavenly. That's what we want, a love from God's vantage point. There are four things I want to share with you about God's love. First of all, it's completely honest. In your relationship with others, we talk about the fact that you need to be completely honest about what's really going on. I was dealing with a family, and not to go into all the details, but there was all kind of dysfunction going on. And the only way that that can be dealt with is to be honest about the dysfunction. I mean, it's a little bit like if you're sick, if you don't have honesty from the doctor, you're never going to get the right kind of prescription. And so we need that kind of honesty. God is honest about who we are. God is honest about who he is. He's a God of love. But he's also, just as we were singing about, he is that holy, holy, holy God. He is a God that loves us, but he's a God that is perfect and pure and will not tolerate any kind of impurity, any kind of sin and wickedness. And he's honest about who we are. And actually, we're pretty honest in church here when we say, I've sinned against God and thought, word and deed, by what I've done, what I've left undone, sinned against God, against you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to be honest because that's the only way a good and decent relationship can be healed and repaired so that it can then become healthy and robust. So God is completely honest about his relationship with us and the love he wants to have for us. And he's also clearly focused. One of the great dangers is that you might want to love all people or love humanity. God doesn't love humanity. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He does, and he loves me too. Each of us individually. It's that kind of specific focus. I have three children and now some spouses and grandchildren. I love them specifically. I don't just sort of love my children in general, as a group. I love them individually. That love is very different and very specific toward that one person, each of those sons and daughter, and then their spouses and family. And there's that focus. And I think it's really encouraging to know that God's three-dimensional love, and probably that fourth dimension of time, that it's wide and long, it's high, it's deep. That love is focused on you. And it's such a beautiful, wonderful thing. God's love is also unlimited because he has all power. He has all knowledge. He can take that love and very strategically work it for your well-being and for mine. And he is unintimidated by the evil that's out there. He's honest about the evil, but he's not intimidated by it. He overcomes it. His love overcomes all the evil and wickedness of the world. And so this is what love looks like from 1 John 4. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son. And I felt bad for Sylvia because I always forget. I never catch it in time. Propitiation is one of those that's like, what? But it's, actually, we end up using it at time. You'll end up knowing that that means atoning sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins. That's what love looks like. Yeah, he sent his son. God so loved the world, we heard today in John 3, that he sent his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's his love for us. This is God's love. As Christ dies on the cross for us and for our salvation. I mean, all these things are just, in many ways, I'm sort of preaching to the choir. You're like, we already know this. Yeah, but do you know how long and wide and high and deep have you experienced it over time in all this? This God that is love and wants us to be people of love. Dear friends, it says in 1 John 4, since God so loved us, so we established that he does love us, what's our response to that? Well, then we ought to love one another. So what's that love going to look like? It's going to look like the same thing the way God loves us. It's going to be completely honest. I don't know if you've had this experience, but have you met people? They're a pain. They're not nice. It's the old thing, people need loving the most when they deserve it the least. I mean, now that doesn't mean that you don't love them and care for them and do all these other things, but we need to be honest and say, you know, this is why I always love the Lord's Prayer. Typically for couples that are getting married, I always remind them that the marriage prayer is the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we trespass against those, as we forgive those who trespass against us. When you're in a family situation, when you're with close relationships, you find yourselves trespassing against one another. And we need to be honest that, yeah, I've offended you, and yeah, I've been a jerk, and I've been an idiot. Those are two different aspects of that. Usually if you're driving, the jerk is ahead of you, the idiot is behind you, just for definition purposes. But being honest about our attitudes and everything else, and then being focused on our love, that we're not just going to love sort of our family in general. We're going to love that kid, that spouse, that brother, that sister, that mom, that dad, those people at work, specifically and uniquely that kind of focus. We need to do it with the power of God within us. An unlimited kind of love. Typically, we're like, I gave you enough love for the day. We're done. You know, we have a certain quota, and we're not going to go beyond. You know, so I'm going to give you this much love. This unlimited love, not so thrilled with that. But God's love is that's going through us is unlimited. And it's full of that energy and zeal, and it just never stops. And nothing can keep us from loving these other people. And we're not intimidated by the evil that's out there. People may show up with guns and all kinds of bad things in this church. That's a possibility. That's why we have a safety preparation or preparedness thing on this. But we're not intimidated. I mean, St. Paul, we were talking about for 4 weeks, we talked about how he was writing to the Philippians when he was in jail. He wasn't intimidated by being incarcerated. He just kept sharing the gospel everywhere he went. So we need to love one another in an unintimidated fashion. I think it's really important that as we look at our love, that we try to ask the question, is my love just flat? Has it sort of lost its pizzazz? Does it need to be more bubbly and more effervescent? Is it the kind of thing that almost like the yeast in a bread, just sort of, you know, you start off with just this little bit of flour and yeast and water, and then also, boom, it expands. That's the kind of love we should have. So the question I have for you and the challenge I have for you today, God's love is long, wide, high, and deep. How's your love doing? Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we ask that we might be three-dimensional in our love, that it would not be flat and lifeless, but that it would be full of zeal and vigor, and that it would be the kind of love that is intelligent and strategic in everything that we do. Help us, O Lord, to know that nothing can separate us from your great love in Jesus Christ. And help other people know that there's nothing that can separate them from our love for them as well. We ask that you be with us as we express that love today and always. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.